It's time now for WNCW's More to the Story for this week. My name is Paul Foster. Our topic, the U.S. Justice Department and North Carolina Attorney General's alleged lawsuit, a federal antitrust lawsuit against Carolina's Medical Center in Charlotte about driving up cost by curbing competition. Our guest with the Charlotte Observer is reporter Ames Alexander. Ames, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Ames, along with a colleague of yours, and I'll let you bring up this individual, you guys have written a number of stories on this subject matter.
Yes, this is a topic that my colleague Karen Garlow at the Charlotte Observer and Joe Neff and David Rayner at the Raleigh News and Observer have been looking at for many years.
Let's start by addressing just how large Carolina's healthcare system is. Its hospitals and ownership, of course, goes well beyond the Queen City of Charlotte.
That's right, Paul. They run 40 hospitals in North and South Carolinas. They have 60,000 employees, roughly, more than $9 billion in annual revenue. So they're the biggest hospital chain in North Carolina and the second biggest public hospital system in the country, behind only the VA.
What was the justification for the lawsuit by, of course, the U.S. Justice Department and the North Carolina Attorney General?
What the lawsuit boils down to is that Carolina's healthcare system has become so big and dominant in the Charlotte area that insurance plans really can't live without it. So what the feds are saying is that when the hospital system negotiates contracts with insurance companies, it uses its dominance to get its own way. Insurers often use a technique called steering to lower costs for themselves and for consumers. And essentially what that means is that they give consumers incentives to use lower cost hospitals and doctor's offices. For instance, consumers are often given the option of paying lower premiums or out-of-pocket expenses if they agree to choose from a small network of low-cost providers. But according to the feds, Carolina's healthcare is essentially saying to insurers, we're not going to do business with you if you steer customers away from us and toward lower-cost hospitals. The Justice Department is saying that's illegal. They're saying it restrains trade in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act.
You know, Ames, when we look at North Carolina as a whole, we keep hearing the bigger hospital chains, be it Carolina's Healthcare, be it Baptist, and even more recently, it's some of the smaller hospitals in Western North Carolina have now gone under the umbrella of, I think it's called Duke LifePoint. Were there any of these groups that had come forward themselves complaining to the U.S. Justice Department and the North Carolina Attorney General?
I haven't picked up on that so much, though we have heard from a lot of independent doctor's offices some complaints about how hospitals are buying up doctor's offices and driving up prices on everything from cancer treatment to routine care.
This is WNCW's More to the Story. We're speaking with Ames Alexander of the Charlotte Observer about the recent news that broke. The U.S. Justice Department and North Carolina Attorney General's office allege that Carolina's Medical Center, based in Charlotte, drives up cost by curbing competition. Ames, what has the response been to this point from Carolina's healthcare? It seems like one of your stories indicated that they seem confident and ready for battle, so to speak.
Carolina's healthcare says it's following the law. It says that it's working hard to reduce costs for patients. And it says that the sorts of contract provisions that it has negotiated with insurers are common nationwide. Some experts, though, say that just because these provisions may be common doesn't necessarily mean they're legal or right. Yes, it appears that Carolina's healthcare is gearing up for a big legal fight. They've retained Jim Cooney, who's one of Charlotte's best lawyers, and the Boies Schiller Law Firm, which is a very large, prominent firm that has fought in many of the nation's highest profile legal battles.
In time, if the Justice Department was to win this lawsuit, what would this mean for the industry as a whole?
I've talked to experts who say this case could have sweeping national implications. If what Carolina's healthcare says is true, that these contract provisions are common between hospitals and insurers all around the country, lots of hospitals could be forced to remove these sorts of contract provisions if the Justice Department wins.
What about for the consumer from whatever might happen in a courtroom down the road?
If the Justice Department wins, that could establish an important legal precedent. That could wind up lowering health care costs for patients all across the country, not just in Charlotte.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Before we wrap up, as far as your work goes, Ames, when it comes to you and Karen, do you foresee another story soon coming?
We're keeping our eye on this. We did publish a major investigation into the state's nonprofit hospitals in 2012, and essentially what we found is that large nonprofit hospitals were pushing up health care costs, paying their executives millions, and leaving thousands of people with bills that they couldn't afford to pay. And one of our stories showed how hospitals are dramatically inflating prices on chemotherapy drugs at a time when they are cornering more of the market on cancer care. In other words, buying up a lot of the doctor's offices where cancer care is provided. We found that hospitals are routinely marking up prices on cancer drugs by 2 to 10 times over cost. Another story we did showed that North Carolina patients are likely to pay more for routine care if their doctors are employed by a hospital. And more doctors are employed by a hospital nowadays than 10, 20 years ago. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on a lot of these threads as this thing moves through the court system.
Ames, one thing's for sure, there's no way around it. Those of us even with good insurance, especially if you're dealing in the area of a disease like cancer, the cost is simply substantial.
It is flat out bankrupting a lot of people. And, you know, it's one hospital visit for a lot of families, unfortunately, means the difference between being able to pay the bills and being completely insolvent.
Mm. It's been a pleasure talking with you as a part of this week's More to the Story from the Charlotte Observer, Ames Alexander.
Thanks for having me.
This is Paul Foster reminding you that More to the Story interviews, just like our Friday feature interview of the week and other interviews, are turned into podcasts that end up on our website. They're available at wncw.org.